It's Thursday, June 23rd, 2016, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to episode 150. Can we stop testing our might? Runtime for this episode is 59 minutes.
Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast where I'm gone for 2 weeks and suddenly we're playing Mortal Kombat. My name is Jeremy.
Test your might.
I'm Tyler.
All planned. My name is Zach.
The spice must flow, and I'm Kevin.
So, yeah, obviously we've resurrected the Jeremy bot, which is really just me with a voice modulator.
Yeah, the Jeremy bot was sick and drinking Not Your Dad's Root Beer, which the package calls ale and spices.
Ed really likes that stuff. I'm kind of meh on it.
Yeah, I like it. I like that it tastes like alcohol and root beer. Those are two great tastes that I like, but it kind of tastes like, it always tastes more like the one I want to experience less when I'm drinking it, whichever that happens to be.
Carefully brewed to taste however you don't want it to taste at the time.
That's honestly impressive.
It is, yeah.
It is, yes.
That's like a Wizarding World beverage. It will either taste like farts or rainbows.
What would a rainbow taste like?
Depends on what part of it you get.
I think burning.
No, that's the red version. If you eat the red stripe of a rainbow.
I think it tastes like one of those milkshakes they eat on the spot where it's like a whole bunch of, it's like a McDonald's Happy Meal blended together into a milkshake.
Ew. I recently had to do that with macaroni and cheese. It did not work well. It was just a giant glob of yellow glue.
I think it really depends on the variety of cheese sauce you have.
Kevin, you have to remember, macaroni and cheese basically is just yellow glue
with noodles.
I mean, Kraft macaroni and cheese. You can make it from scratch.
Yeah, this was Kraft.
I need to bug my mom to make homemade mac and cheese again.
It's good.
That stuff's delicious.
Then, I mean, she'll be like, make it yourself.
It's basically
actually,
just
she'll go,
attack.
That's a good idea.
Oh, well.
We haven't had that in a while.
Okay, Zach, what have you had in a while?
This week I actually restarted playing Dragon Age Inquisition.
Oh, wow. From the beginning again?
Yes, because I have absolutely no idea what was going on in my other playthrough. Playing a archer this time, because I have never, in my gaming career, played an actual archer character.
Really? Not even in Morrowind?
Or my characters have had bows in like Oblivion, but they were, I want to reach out and touch somebody. It's not my primary attack method.
It's how I grab their attention, by shooting them with an arrow.
I have a sneak attack.
It's a love tap.
It's the I have a sneak attack thing that I can use here, but it's, and I'm going to pick on it, but it's not really my main. I'm going to attack this thing with it, but I'm trying it this time.
How's it going so far?
Well, I just formed the Inquisition.
Oh,
so
wow.
Like, I just got into the first zone again because it took me a little while. Initially, I was like, I'm going to totally go play a two-handed warrior. But then I'm like, before I even finished the tutorial, I was just sitting there like, I've done this before. I want to try something new.
So people don't know to not expect you yet.
No one expects the Dragon Age.
No one is entirely, no one knows to not expect me yet. You're right. Because they're not entirely sure if I'm actually a real thing yet. I am the Herald of Andraste. Not really.
That's some proper nouns there.
Yes, it is.
Does that mean that you announce her presence, his presence?
It'd be a her, and she's long dead, so it's hard to announce her presence.
You announce her presence before she devours the planet.
Not quite. You're actually trying to save the planet from a giant rift that was opened after
Seems like you should be the Rift
Herald,
treaty. Then. You would be a better Rift Herald than the one in League of Legends, who, as far as I can tell, heralds nothing. But perhaps the Baron? Really, it should be the Baron Herald?
Yes. But watched a lot of League of Legends, the LCS. Watched TSM Raffle Stomp Team Liquid and beat CLG, which was interesting since CLG was like, we went to MSI and did really well for the NA team. We got to the finals and everything. LCS starts up again. CLG's like, we're last place.
Yeah, well, they had to screw it up. Even G2 dominated their region after MSI. And SK Telecom is just laughing in their region as undisputed gods of everything.
That's not that surprising, though.
Except for Rocks Tigers used to be able to put up a fight.
I'm still playing League of Legends. I slowed down a little bit. I'm looking forward to Hexakill Twisted Treeline this weekend.
What else have you been playing?
I played some Dirt 3, but not very much of it. And I'm playing still playing a lot of Conquest.
I thought you were going to say Comic Zone, and I was like, why? But okay.
No, I haven't been playing any Comic Zone.
It's a thought experiment. You lock someone in a room with Comic Zone for 10 days.
And Rob Liefeld? Because I think that would actually be a good time.
Yeah, it actually, it probably would be, honestly.
But playing... Sorry.
No, I was going to say, for as much crap as we give Liefeld.
Rob Liefeld's problems in life are he can't draw feet, he can't draw spines, and he can't draw women. He's great to hang out with. That's not one of his problems.
You give Rob Liefeld a lot of trouble. I don't care. Conquest is still good. Still have eccentric personalities as part of my group. I'm liking it.
So it's better than Birthright, then?
I'm wondering how Revelations works out. There are a couple of them. Like, there's a level in which you have to rescue the Hoshiden nobles.
I'm going to foreshadow what I've been playing next week. I'm guessing that it works out that for 1999, you get to avert all of the travesties and all of the tragedies that happened because you didn't pay 1999 are prevented thanks to your donation of 1999.
Eh, I don't care.
Plus tax.
If the game works well enough as a third path, I'm okay with that.
Do you actually get, like, revelations like, oh, this horrible event's going to happen. I should not do that.
Actually, my assumption is it actually explains who the hell Azura really is.
Yeah, I'm saving my problems with Birthright for next week, but I got them.
But it's fun. I liked Birthright, so there are more difficult levels
in
Conquest.
I'm just hoping Conquest is better.
It's hard to say because I think the ratios on the characters in Conquest are actually lower, so it's harder for them to get large level ups.
I mean, I'm fine with that. If the game was challenging at all, that would be good.
Yeah.
The general opinion seems to be that Conquest is better, according to the internet.
And I played Birthright first because it was supposed to be easier, and it was just too easy.
Yeah, I think that's it.
So, Kevin, what have you been playing?
I've actually picked up Warframe again.
Oh, yeah. People like that game.
It's really fun. Space ninjas.
It kind of looks like something that would be right up my alley, and I know a lot of people who play it.
It would.
It seems a little too free to play to me.
Yeah, but...
Like, I wouldn't want to spend money on it, and I think I would not have fun if I didn't spend money.
Ironic that that's a thing.
You can definitely have fun and not spend money on it. I did that for the longest time, and ended up... At one point, I got 70% off buying their money resource called Platinum. So it was like, oh, I can spend like $25 and get 2,000 Platinum. That'll be great.
I'm sure somewhere along the line, I accidentally signed something that said I had to give all free-to-play monies to Riot.
Probably. But I've been playing the new guy that just came out is Anarios, and he's a sand-based Warframe who can summon sand and scarabs to steal people's health.
Play it's a Gara mech?
or is it more crocodile? Does it have a hook hand?
It does. Are you not playing Azir?
No. Although he can summon sand soldiers. So if you kill somebody in a certain way, you will actually summon a sand clone of them that will fight for you for a short amount of time.
So you're playing Sand Emperor Mordekaiser.
Sort of. Only you can have more than one sand clone at a time. Your first ability is you like throw a wave of sand in front of you that blinds people and steals their health. Your second ability is called Devour, where you trap people in quicksand. Then you can run up next to them and send your scarab swarm to start eating them and gaining some health back as you do it.
Nom.
If the devourer kills them, you create a sand clone. Your third ability is you turn into a whirlwind. That one's actually pretty great. You literally you turn into a whirlwind and start throwing people around the map. And then your fourth ability is you can summon your scarab army to increase your armor and then shoot them like a projectile.
Cool. Anything else?
No, it's really been just that. I've sunk a ton of time into that game because they keep adding new stuff. They keep adding new Warframes that have really interesting and new abilities. Some are better for playing with teammates, like they're more supporty roles, versus some are solo frames. Like Anarios is definitely solo because he's got all the lifesteal, as well as if he goes down, he entombs himself in sand and then can suck the life of people near him. And if he kills two people, he resurrects himself.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
Do they, like, justify how he gains health from it, or, like, the scarabs regurgitating on him or something, or...
Yeah, so when you're doing your devour animation, there are kind of these blue... They kind of look like scarabs, but they're small little light particles that kind of flow between you and the target. But your other abilities that steal health, no, they kind of just... They don't really explain that at all.
That's fair. I mean, that's not really why anyone's playing that game, but it would be... I don't know.
It's still technically an open beta, so there's not a whole lot of background development. Like, there's still no end game yet. They probably have it planned, but they haven't implemented it yet. So it's eventually you're just kind of like, yeah, I've unlocked all the frames and I'm the highest mastery rank and I've done all the missions. There's no way to actually end the game. There's no major boss to fight.
I was going to say, I wonder what Slime Rancher's endgame is, but then it occurred to me it's probably just going to be like a giant tar or something.
Yeah. Maybe you'll get the ability to harvest tar.
That would be awesome. I didn't realize that you couldn't get plorts out of them at first, so I carried one all the way back to my ranch and stuck it in an enclosure.
That was a bad idea.
It was a bad idea. It was in the enclosure by itself.
So, Tyler, you mentioned you saw Hank Green in The Perfect Strangers, and I was like, ooh, I want to hear about that. But I wasn't on that episode, and no one asked you about it. So, Tyler, I want to hear about that.
So, I was in San Francisco a couple weeks ago for training or something, and I got out of class on Monday, had no idea what to do, and I didn't really want to, like, just sit around in my room because I thought that was kind of lame. So, I opened up an app, and it was like, hey, app, is there anything going on tonight? And it's like, you could go see this one guy. I'm like, eh, I don't really care about one guy. And the second thing on the list was, Hank Green of The Perfect Strangers is, like, 5 minutes from your hotel. I'm like, sold for $25.
I'm a little surprised you could get tickets that close, but I doesn't feel like he would super sell out either, so maybe not.
Like, the place wasn't packed, but it was not sparsely populated either. Like, there was a mosh pit going up front, so
yeah, I definitely want to mosh to like Harry Potter music. That's definitely what I want.
Osseo of Deadly Hallows.
Yeah, that's how I discovered Hank Green.
Was from that song.
Yeah,
I discovered,
which I don't really like, but
yeah. He did kind of a reggae version of it in this, and that actually worked a lot better.
Huh.
I think my first one was his song about quarks. It was the first time I ever heard of him. I didn't realize that he and John Green were related for a long time, because I watched Crash Course History all the way through.
That's, like, mind-boggling to me that you could.
Well, and then I watched Crash Course Psychology, which Hank hosts. I'm like, who is this guy? He's not John Green.
He's not an award-winning author. He's some sort of engineer who knows, like, math and stuff.
Or something. So for those of you who don't know, the Green Brothers do this thing called Vlogbrothers, where they basically make a video back and forth on YouTube once a week. Well, each of them does one a week. And they also have a host of, like, educational YouTube channels and stuff. And also Hank Green's a professional musician, and John Green's, like, an award-winning historian slash young adult author.
And they now own a third-tier football league. They
owned
a fourth-tier football league, but it got promoted.
Isn't it the Manchester something or others?
Yeah, I don't know.
So I only was vaguely aware of the fact that Hank Green had a band. I'm like, I don't really care. I like this guy. I'm going to go see what he's got. And it turns out, he's got.
Yeah? I feel like Hank Green's music is the thing I care least about him, which is why I'm not super interested. But you said you went, so I figured I'd ask.
It was a great show. For $25, it was a 5-hour concert. There were 5 acts, and they each did an hour set, which, you know, that lasted a while. I got there at like 7:30. I'm like, is this still going? He tossed around a giant stuffed anaconda at some point, and at that time I was holding a martini, and the fake anaconda tongue like got into the martini, and some guys in the mosh pit are like, oh look, he's taking a drink, how cute. It was also an under 18 allowed show, so there were like a bunch of 12-year-olds in the like group, so yeah,
that seems appropriate but also weird.
Yeah. What to say about that show? It was great. It was mostly like punk rock. Harry and the Potters was fantastic. The two of them got up and were like, I'm Harry Potter. And the other guy's like, I'm also Harry Potter. And behind us is the ghost of Cedric Diggory, who was the guitarist from the previous act. Oh no. If you ever get the chance to go see Hank Green playing with his friends, I highly recommend it. It's a blast, and everyone there is a nerd, pretty much guaranteed.
But that's not a video game, so Tyler, what video games have you been playing?
I'm kind of surprised Zach didn't mention this, but I've been playing Overwatch. I don't know if you've been playing Overwatch.
Very briefly.
Yeah, well. Ed tried to deliver a physical copy to me at some point, but forgot.
Did he then deliver a digital copy to you?
Yeah.
Or did this inspire you to buy your own?
No.
Tyler doesn't buy new games for himself, are you
especially
kidding?
Not physical copies of games.
No, I said digital.
Yeah, he opened it up and was like, oh, it's got a download key. I'm like, well, why wouldn't it have a download key? So I just
like,
downloaded it.
Wait, is there actually a disc in there? That would be weird.
There is, actually, for people with slow internet.
I was going to say, is it not just a DVD with like making up or something?
That would actually be really cool.
Yeah, that would actually be really neat to see the development process behind it.
I mean, one of those came with my fancy StarCraft edition, and it was not that cool.
Yeah, well. Oh, yeah, I guess it's a lot of engineers sitting around going, I'm coding.
It has the
compiling
the best set of, what's it called, cinematics of any game I've seen so far.
StarCraft 2?
No, Overwatch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they have a bunch of, like, backstories of the characters.
That makes sense.
They're actually really well written. Like, they were very nice shorts.
Yeah, I would put money on Blizzard to do that well. Like, if there was Vegas odds on that, they would not be good.
Hero's the best one.
I saw a comic recently where Tracer's like, all right, team, and she's, like, taking roll call. And then she's like, and Reaper. Wait, Reaper? What are you doing here? Don't you, like, hate Overwatch? And he's like, yeah, but not as much as I hate Red Team. And she's like, McCree, are you okay with this? I was like, I also hate Red Team, so we're allies now. And Zenyatta's like, eh, whatever.
That would have been funnier if Zenyatta was also on Blue Team, and he was like, I hate that alternate copy of me that's blue.
So what do you think of it?
I mean, about the same as I thought of it before. It's fun in small bursts, but the game hasn't really changed enough yet for me to be super interested in it. I would like to get a six-man team together just so we can raffle some people.
Yeah, if watching Achievement Hunter, six people who are awful at video games, taught me anything, it's that talking during that game makes you unstoppable.
Yep.
It's just being able to talk to each other.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Being able to coordinate with your team, because that's one of the problems I have with playing League or Overwatch. I can't stand playing by myself, because then it feels like it's me and five other people who don't want to be teammates.
Yeah. I actually had one team I gelled with super well, but I'm not sure if that's because, like, we were, like, hooking up or because they just don't suck at video games. I'm not really sure what the
It's not a terribly complicated game.
Yeah, but people
stand
really don't
stand behind the Reinhardt, keep him charged, and walk through the enemy team. It's pretty simple.
It is, definitely, but people don't seem to understand the, like, stay in a group thing. So when you have the Reinhardt, a lot of people are like, I'm going to go wander over here and do something else. And
I'm Reaper. I have a teleport. Why would I be behind a shield?
I'm going to flank them. Okay, flanking them does not mean moving so far ahead that I can't see you anymore. It's we both assault at the same time. You just come from the side.
We have to attack the point. I'm going to play a sniper. It's in an enclosed space. I'm playing a sniper.
Good job.
You're an idiot.
Yeah, not only am I playing a sniper, I am playing Hanzo.
I feel like Hanzo is a better support sniper than Widowmaker because he's got, like, the echo locator and stuff.
Yeah, but
Widowmaker's ultimate does what his
locator
does
for everybody across the entire map, as well as Widowmaker also has an assault rifle, so she can be the sniper and then run in and shoot people with her assault rifle.
That's a
good
point.
Hanzo's like, I missed that arrow, time to die.
Also, she's OP and competitive, and that's the only thing I know about competitive Overwatch.
Is that Widowmaker's overpowered?
Yeah.
Well, her ultimate is incredibly
super
powerful.
Useful.
And her venom mines are actually pretty strong as well.
Yep.
It's a skill that basically does that in Splatoon, and no one ever plays it, but everyone really likes having someone on their team who has it.
Widowmaker's ult or the Widow mine?
Widowmaker's ult.
My understanding about Widowmaker in competitive is that if you are one of the best Overwatch players in the world, you can outduel any of Widowmaker's counters.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
although, what are Widowmaker's counters?
I don't know. I read a list of them, but, like, I was not super paying attention
Reinhardt.
To this article.
I feel like Winston, actually, because he's got the drop shield and the jump, can put him right on top of her really quick.
Yeah, but see, the difference is Reinhardt throws up a shield and his entire team throws enough bullets at her where she dies.
Yeah, well, I guess Reinhardt can't 1v1 her. But
depends on how close he is.
That is true.
And
but
actually,
a good headshot.
Well, he can take a couple of headshots from Widowmaker.
Not a fully charged one. Everyone dies in one hit.
He can still charge her off the map.
That is true. And it's really hard to hit. So I played a couple games of Overwatch. Ed joined for a while, and just having two people communicating was slaughter.
Anything else?
Yeah. Actually, I have to remember what the hell it was, though. So maybe not.
Metal Gear?
Oh, yeah. No, it was definitely Metal Gear, actually. I've been doing a bunch of the extreme missions.
I sort of lost interest in the game at that point, so I did the first one, I think, and then didn't go on.
I kind of had a hard time picking back up. I think I'm going to power through the rest of the plot important missions and call it a day.
Yeah, that's what I did. And then I was perplexed, but
I don't know that it matters a whole lot, but I'm actually participating in this season of Anther's Ladder. I know that I say that every time a season starts.
Yeah, you know. So it's just a matter of time before you drop off.
I've played more than five matches, though, so if anyone wants to follow me, I'm Bombastian. Unfortunately, not a whole lot else. I've been playing My Parents Are in Town, which is not a great game.
No, it doesn't sound like it.
It was actually not bad. We went to, like, a chalk art festival, which is apparently a thing that Denver does once a year, where people do really bad representations of good pictures in chalk. And then we got drunk at the Old Spaghetti Factory, and that was awesome.
I know that's my favorite place to get drunk, Old Spaghetti Factory.
The only good festival that we have in Denver is the Super Bowl parade, once we win the Super Bowl.
We have some other ones.
Presumably, we
Zombie
do pretty,
Crawl is pretty good.
Presumably, we'd do pretty well if we ever won the World Series, but that would imply a good baseball team.
I'm going
the
to...
The riots when we won the Stanley Cup weren't bad.
Yeah, those were pretty good.
Anything else, Tyler?
One other thing. I've been replaying the original Mega Man.
Oh, that's a okay game. That's not as good as Mega Man 2, but it's still pretty good.
Yeah, it's a lot harder than I remember it being for when we played it for the show.
It's not an easy game. Didn't say that. That Gutsman level.
I'm still having trouble with Iceman. Like, I can dodge. Like, okay, I keep choking hard at the end. I actually beat him once, but his projectiles stay on screen until they all, like, and I definitely
died. Are you doing
died.
A Buster only run?
No.
Just lightning his ass.
Well, I'm doing him first. That's okay. How you play Mega Man.
No, it's not. You do Bomb Man first.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Man, I screwed that order up.
Then you
up.
Kill Guts Man, and then you have the super arm when you go to Elec-Man later, and you need it to get the Magna Beam.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. That's a terrible design decision. The last thing I've not necessarily been playing, but wanted to give you my official recommendation on, is Retro City Rampage. Don't play it. It's not a good game.
You already talked about this.
I did, but you weren't there.
Yeah,
so.
But I edited it.
Fair enough. So, since I've run out of stuff to be playing about, what have you been playing about?
So I've been playing a lot of Persona 4 over the last few weeks, and I'm sad I wasn't on the last couple episodes, just because I feel like I could have discussed this much better over time, because my feelings on the game definitely mutated throughout. Persona 4, like Persona 3, is a game where you are a high school student who has to balance his relationships with his friends and family, his school, and going into a TV world to defeat shadows with Pokemon demons, and you have to become friends with people so that the power of friendship will power up your demons so you don't have to level grind.
So the only difference between this and the Shinten games is Shinten games don't have the power of friendship installed in them.
And most of these are you're preventing a Shinten game from happening. It's like, oh no, the villains want to cause a new Shinten game. Let's stop them.
Yeah, you know how every Shinten starts with the apocalypse is happening?
Mm-hmm.
This is right before the apocalypse is happening.
But anyway, Persona 4 is a murder mystery.
That's cool. I approve.
Why are you looking for a murderer? Isn't that just, you know, you're the protagonist, so you're probably the person that did it?
Why would you be the murderer?
Well, because he got in the way and you needed the loot?
Yeah, you don't call the protagonist a murderer.
You're an adventurer.
In Persona, you can only use your demon mind powers in, like, the other world, and there tend not to be humans there.
There tend not to be
other
humans.
Than that one guy.
Other than all the guys you're rescuing.
And Thor, although he's not technically human.
And that one dude from Catherine.
Yes, oh, yeah. Vincent.
Wait, is he in that game?
He's in the PSP remake.
Huh. That's neat.
Yeah.
We went over this.
Yeah, I vaguely remember this.
So it does kind of a cool thing at the end. Persona 3 gets to a point where you have to basically pick an ending. Although it's really obvious, this option leads to the bad ending. And this option leads to the good ending. And theoretically, your friends will have a more fulfilled life if you choose the bad ending, except for all of them, like, come to the conclusion that it's clearly better to go with the other option. So it's a little almost weird that it's there at all. This game goes a different path where you need to figure out, no, this conclusion doesn't make sense. Clearly, this guy is not the murderer to keep going on through endings. And it's a little guy dang it, which is too bad. But on the other hand, if you get it wrong, you just reload your save and get it right. But it kept creating these not quite false endings that weren't very satisfying. And I was like, huh, I wonder how they're going to wrap this up. I don't think it's going to be good. They do make you figure out who the murderer is, and they don't really make it obvious to the point where I only figured out due to like narrative relevance. I'm like, huh, this guy has shown up a lot and not really done anything.
And this is the one guy who I haven't accused yet.
You only get 3 guesses or you have to reload your save. Or rather, you get the bad-ish ending and then have to reload your save.
What is the bad-ish ending? Everyone gets murdered.
You don't figure it out. You have to go home. Your sister cousin is still in a coma but didn't die. And therefore, your uncle dad is kind of depressed.
That's bad-ish.
Yeah, bad is your sister cousin dies and your dad uncle is super depressed. And it's implied the Shinten game happens.
Shinten 4 specifically. So the world ends and all of Tokyo is destroyed. Then you drop a moon on it.
See, I think it'd be way better if you were murdered.
No, Persona 3 is the one where they're going to drop the moon.
Ah.
I meant
Shinten. In the Shinten game, you drop the moon on a planet.
In the PSP remake, you can figure it out, not tell your friends, go confront the murderer, burn the evidence, and then he's like, I have you for life now, you idiot. So that's also a bad ending, but it's not in this version.
That's amusing.
It was to the point where I had to like look up how are you actually supposed to figure out this guy's the murderer, and it was actually pretty interesting, so I think they did a good job. There's no evidence that points to him. There's just evidence that eliminates every other suspect.
Okay. That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, so you're pulling a Sherlock.
But then you, like, go confront him, and an evil god shows up, and it's still this satisfying. And there's and then you get the good-ish ending if you end there.
What's the good-ish ending?
You think everything is probably fine, and it probably won't happen again in 10 years, and you leave, and your friends are like, see you later.
It probably doesn't end in a Shinten game.
Yeah. Or at least it ends in another Persona game, and 10 years some other kids have to prevent a Shinten game, and hopefully they're as good as you are. So I was like, well, I want to get the true ending. I've spent this long with the game, but I don't see how it could really be satisfying. And then it was the best ending to a video game I've ever played, and I was really confused about my feelings because it was just so well executed.
Huh.
It really? Was really cliche, too. It was all in the execution. They just tell the ending. You know, it's the cliche power of friendship superpowers you, but it's done entirely through game mechanics they've already introduced, and it was really cool.
Sounds like a better way to do it than the ending of Bioshock Infinite.
Yeah, probably. That's not a particularly high bar. I mean, I can see why someone would like the ending of Bioshock Infinite, but I don't think it's particularly well done.
That is like my bar for crappy endings, is Bioshock Infinite.
It sounds like I need to play this game, though.
At least play Persona 3. See, because I played Persona 3 first, I am cursed to forever find Persona 4 just not quite as good. Just like anyone who plays Persona 4 first is cursed to think Persona 3 is just a little too hard for its own good. A bunch of the new mechanics they introduce are things to sort of mitigate how hard Shinten games are. Like, your friends, if you're good enough friends with them, will push you out of the way of lethal attacks.
And do then, they die instead?
Yeah, and then if they become friends enough, they become able to survive lethal attacks. So, like, the ending is you go through, like, you know, the everyone is a spirit and gives you a friendship speech, and then the boss just keeps attacking you, but you keep surviving the same way they would if they were good enough friends with you, and then you get a super powerful persona via friendship and use the ultimate attack, complete with not looking at explosions, and save the day.
That's the best ultimate attack, is when you don't even look at the results.
I know what happened.
And then you have to leave because it's sad, but it's metaphorical for the player having to leave because the game is over. And my girlfriend was crying and telling me she loved me as she chased the train. And it was really sweet. So I recommend Persona 4. That's the long and short of it. It's like $16 on Amazon if you want a PS2. It's $10 if you want a PS3. And it's like 90 hours of gameplay. So regardless, it's a good deal. Even though I didn't like it as much as Persona 3, and I certainly had beefs with it playing along the way, I came up with an overwhelmingly positive impression.
Ah.
The ending really saved it in a way I was sure it couldn't.
Good job, Persona 4, apparently. Although I still have to play Persona 3 because it got it for me like 6 months ago now.
Yep.
And I haven't even opened the shrink wrap.
I have. I read the manual because I'm like, a game manual?
I've never read the manual.
But I've been playing Metal Gear this entire time.
Yeah, well, that's what I made myself play Metal Gear, I think, right after Persona 3, not right before. So never mind. I was going to say, I played Metal Gear before Persona as well, but that's not true. Okay, so then two other games I've been playing that I want to talk about. First, Wave Race 64.
Oh, man.
I like I said, I edited that episode, and two things really bemused me listening to you guys talking. The first was, when I was a kid, I could never do the tricks. So I just tried to do one, like, offhand, and this one, I was like, oh, that was super easy. I just must have been an idiot when I was a kid. Which was super amusing. You were like, yeah, I couldn't do them. Yeah, I couldn't figure it out. I don't know.
I mean, to be fair, I only tried once, got halfway through the trick, failed, and was like, well, done with that.
Yeah, I did not try very hard.
I tried for, like, two or three races, and just was like, nope, done.
There's definitely a trick to them, but I just couldn't do them as a kid.
Trick to them?
Yes, that was not super intentional, but thank you. Then I was curious, did any of you play on a mode other than normal?
You mean for the difficulty?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I played on hard.
I didn't bother.
See, because Zach was like, oh, this game is super easy. You, like, never have to do hard turns. And I was like, man, it was not that way at all on just the second difficulty level. where I actually had quite a bit of trouble. And the courses get more interesting. They don't get super interesting, but they definitely get more interesting. You need to do a lot tighter turns. The AI gets way better, and some of the routes open up alternate paths that you have to go through that are trickier to navigate.
Yeah.
The game got a lot more engaging to me after normal mode, which should have been called easy mode, but that's a different discussion topic altogether.
Oh, no. I never found it particularly difficult. I only didn't get first one race.
I found hard fairly difficult. It took me like 3 or 4 tries to finish it, and then I played expert and could not.
That was true. I never tried expert. Maybe I should have.
A third point I want to make about Wave Race, again, because this amused me. The game does have music. It's like super casual, relaxing music, which is why it doesn't stand out at all after you're done playing it. But I think it fits the feel of the game really well.
It's super casual and relaxing. Like, really? While you're racing?
Yeah.
There's music? Huh. Apparently we all just blocked it out. So.
Yeah, like, it's super subdued. Like, it's meditation music. It would be good for that. And then Gargoyle's Quest. I keep wanting to call it Devil's Quest because that's what it's called in Japanese.
I like that game all right.
It would have been way easier for me to find.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I liked it all right, too. I mean, you guys basically said most of what I wanted to say about it. Probably a little too hard.
I was going to say, Zach couldn't get past the first screen. I would argue that's too
I got
hard.
Past the first screen.
Did you?
I couldn't get past the first level.
Oh, well, no, that's the first screen to
well,
me. So.
I have a point about that, but I'll get to it. First, I want to ask how far you got, Tyler, because it seemed like you beat the game. I know you got further than me, but I couldn't.
I have beaten it since recording. I had not at the time of recording.
Okay. I kind of want to talk a little bit more about its Dragon Quest world map. You brought it up, but you didn't really detail it much. Yet another game that I bemoan us not having played Dragon Quest before, because they're clearly just trying to graft RPG onto platformer for better or worse. Metroid, like you mentioned, did it way better, but I feel like Metroid did it more subtly. It took the RPG mechanic of getting stronger as you go along and getting to new things and applied it to a platformer really well, which is this is just more trying to
shoehorn two genres.
RPG stuff onto it, which made sense because in Japan, RPGs were the most popular genre and platformers were a close second. So if you could find that magic to combine them, it made sense to try. But
I think Mega Man hits that stride pretty well.
Like, actually. Metroid, to me, is really the one that really hits it. But I think the other games that tried are things like Kid Icarus and Gargoyle's Quest. And a peril you run into when you're giving people more power like that is it's really easy to then make the game too easy or make those power-ups worthless.
Blaster Master did a pretty good job.
Yeah,
honestly.
Actually, Blaster Master is a pretty good example of that.
Yeah, this game actually reminded me a lot of, hey, Metroid was a cool game. What if we, like, tried to copy that, but not quite as well? And Blaster Master was kind of that exact same idea, at least to me 20 years later.
Then I want to go back to the point about it being too hard, because Zach brought up a term I was thinking about as you discussed it, which was sunk cost fallacy, where he was talking about how if you make the early games levels of a game easier, people are more likely to invest in later levels because they've already spent time on them.
But also gives you a chance to learn the mechanics.
I don't want to say counter-argument, but one thing I think about a lot when playing video games for this podcast is trying to emulate the sunk cost of paying full price for a video game, which I think most of these developers could rely on. They were expecting you to pay for their games, and therefore, once you did, you were a little bit stuck with them. And in some cases, that was highway robbery. You get your Action 52s and your games that are just unplayable. But in a lot of cases, that means you'll stick with a hard game long enough to learn it.
Because you bought it, and therefore you must.
Yeah.
I think that's why rentals were a serious threat to the game market at one point.
Oh, yes and no. A lot of American games got made arbitrarily harder because of rentals, and so I don't really think that's too related.
Because making something of quality that people actually want to pay for to own is a much more difficult prospect.
It is more difficult, but also especially on early NES and Game Boy games, you have to keep in mind the limited space. Pokemon is a miracle that they fit all that on there. And when you have very limited space and you physically can't cram more game on there, making a game harder is a way to sort of increase length and therefore increase value. Even though it's not good game design anymore.
But it's all we knew back then.
Well, it was all that was really possible. It was either that or you pay $50 for a game that's done in 2 minutes, or you get what I think is a far worse problem, which is you make Dragon Quest, which is a super easy game, but to get anywhere you have to do this super boring task 100 times.
Like Phantasy Star.
Yeah, like Phantasy Star. I would way rather play Gargoyle's Quest than Phantasy Star. Even though Phantasy Star is by far the easier game.
Grind to level 6.
Yeah, that's not hard to do. It's just not fun to do. All right, so then one other game I've been playing was after I finished Persona 4 and I kind of wanted more, I went ahead and ordered Persona 4 Arena Ultimex.
Ultimex?
Ultimex. That's, you
Is
know.
That where they're lucha wrestlers?
There are no lucha wrestlers, sadly. There's one character from Persona 3 is now the actress for the Pink Feather Man, which is their equivalent of Power Rangers. So that's pretty great. But there are no luchadors. I've always wanted to own a Arc System Works fighting game, and now I finally do. And I'm pretty into the way they do fighting games. They kind of took everything I actually like about Street Fighter, but that Street Fighter is not really about, like, super moves and meter management and air approaches, and they built a game around it.
Now that's, like, the way I try to play Street Fighter, which is why I'm bad at it.
Yeah, exactly. This game feels much more natural, and I'm definitely not good at it, but I'm way better at it than Street Fighter.
Huh.
I do have one kind of major problem with it, which is the AI is way easier than a Street Fighter game, or I'm way better at it, but I think it's the former one, because I've beaten this game on the highest difficulty with a few of my characters, and it's got 5 levels of difficulty, and it's sort of starting to wear on me just because I don't have someone to play with. It's a, like, 3-year-old game, so everybody online is a super god that will crush me into paste before I even load the game, and that's too bad.
Yeah, so I assume it has online play, right? It's a PS3 game?
Yeah.
I would be surprised if it didn't. Is it on Steam?
I don't think so, but it might be. More and more Japanese developers put their games on Steam, but I did hear someone recently bemoaning how there are no Persona games on Steam, and that would technically count, so.
Yeah, that is true. Vaguely related, I was going to say I watched Skullgirls beta character tournaments, which is kind of goofy, but they have a bunch of placeholders for animations where someone just like scribbled on some notebook paper and took a picture, and that's the image they use.
That's pretty great.
All right, but instead of playing a fighting game where the AI on the hardest difficulty is still a little too easy once you're good at fighting games, we play it again where the AI hates you and wants you to die and give it more quarters, but actually just get out of the arcade and let the real men play. We played Mortal Kombat 2.
Well, at the very least, they got the AI right. It wants you dead.
That is true. Or a baby. It might also want you a baby.
No,
it could want to be your friend.
That is true.
I never saw the AI do any fatalities except for scenery fatalities, where it would punch you into spikes and such.
Or acid.
Yeah, lots of the acid one.
Which is new this time around.
Yeah, so Mortal Kombat 2, like, what to say? I'm not going to sugarcoat it. This is probably the least fun I've ever had playing an assignment.
Really?
Yeah.
Even compared to the original Mortal Kombat?
Yeah, I thought it was way worse than the original Mortal Kombat. And we'll get into that later. But first, what they've changed. They've added 6 new characters and sent Sonya to the moon. No one noticed because no one cares about the characters in Mortal Kombat.
She had an important government work or something.
No, it's because she liked bananas.
What?
There's always money in the banana stand, so she went to go get it, so she wouldn't have to be in this game. So, Mortal Kombat has 6 new characters. Who are they? Katana, who is a girl. Melina, who is the same girl, but in purple. Or blue, maybe.
Katana's the blue one with the fan.
No, Katana's...
Katana's blue.
Katana's the blue one with the fan. Melina is the size, and she's in pink. Jax.
Oh, yeah, Jax, who is a black guy. Reptile, who's a green ninja, who shoots acid spit. Shao Kahn. Not Shao Kahn. Shang Tsung?
Yeah.
Whoever the bad guy was from Mortal Kombat.
And then Kung Lao.
Kung Lao. He has a hat.
He throws that at people. A hat.
His hat has a metal blade on it.
I said this about the first Mortal Kombat, but it remains true. The characters are way less diverse and engaging to me than Street Fighter.
If only because all their standard moves are the same.
And this is such a minor thing, but I really think popping up the character's name when you were hovering over them would go a lot towards distinguishing them a bit. Because it's just Blue Ninja, Yellow Ninja, Green Ninja, which one do I pick? And once you pick, it does say their name, but at that point you're locked in. And if you didn't hear whatever they mumbled, you're not going to know that character's name.
Herpile.
I don't know, I thought they were pretty clear when you were actually selecting your character. I could always hear them when they made it.
Well, part of it was that the music for this game is not great, so I was usually listening to other stuff. But I just think it would have been way easier for me to tell them apart if it was on screen at the same time.
Yeah.
But also, they're just not visually diverse. You get 3 of the same ninja, who are different characters once you play them, but look the same. The 2 girls are just entirely identical to me.
Speaking of trying to shove more stuff onto the cart, though, the reason they have so many palette swaps is because the motion capture takes up a lot of space.
That's true.
Still an interesting way of doing this. This is the only game that really did anything like that.
It still looks super ugly to me, personally.
Yeah, I think they kind of hit Uncanny Valley with it.
I don't know, looking back at it when I was a kid, this actually looked really, really nice. And even today, it doesn't actually look that bad, especially when it's compared with stuff around the same time frame.
Yeah. And my opinion, like yours, has not changed. I thought it looked bad then, and I think it looks bad now. I shouldn't say it reminds me, but a lot of N64 games I thought looked good at the time, but now just look horrendous to me. And kind of similar to that, it distracts from my enjoyment of the game.
Man, the character models in Perfect Dark are that for me. I used to think they looked so good. And looking back, they're like, oh man, it's a horrible block person.
This gun is in my fist. That's not a fist.
It's a meat mallet. Just like the Final Fantasy VII fist cubes.
Like the previous game, every character has the same list of basic moves. Most of them are holdovers from the last game. You got a couple of new ones, but not a lot. You've got like a forward punch that's sort of a backhand. But for the most part, it's the same game. Most of the returning characters have a new super. Sub-Zero can now freeze the ground and make people slip.
It's actually kind of useful.
When did this one come out in relation to the other game?
7 months.
Holy, okay, well, I mean, that explains a lot, honestly.
That's really quick for another game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know why they felt they needed to hit the market again so quickly. I guess they wanted to strike while the iron was hot, but...
Yeah, especially with the added characters and all the motion capture.
That is definitely true.
And that explains the graphics as well.
They had a lot of controversy at the time, and they were probably trying to capitalize on that.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can assume. They've added babalities and friendships as kind of a joke to like make fun of the controversy, but to be honest, I don't think it's a very good joke.
I like friendships. Babalities are just kind of stupid. Like,
well, and honestly, really creepy. It's worse to do the babality than actually kill the guy that you're fighting.
I mean,
that's
one
of the things that stuck around in later games, like Mortal Kombat 9 has babalities in it.
Yep.
Why?
I used this term for the first game, so it shouldn't come off as a surprise with how little they've changed that I use it for the second, but it just seems really immature. And I don't want to say I think it's morally wrong to target this sort of violence at kids, but they're the only one who's going to be interested in this. It's the PG-13 problem, where if your movie is R, kids are going to be more interested in it, but they can't see it.
Yeah, like 8-year-old me was super interested in playing Mortal Kombat because it had blood.
Yeah, and like the controversy helped them so much, because I honestly think without the controversy, no one would really care.
Could play Mortal Kombat. My cousins had it.
Yeah, me too. An older
and
friend
I
of mine
lacked
had it.
The interest in playing it.
Yeah, I played it and was like, "Look at this! I'm spewing blood everywhere."
I watched the fatalities because they had three, which I think there was a watch all the fatalities button in it, not button but mode.
Yeah. We're just cycles through everyone's.
I think it was three or four.
The story for this game is a bit more involved. It's in the attract mode. You can see it, basically. It's pretty much a direct sequel. After the tournament, the bad guy was like, "You suck, sorcerer guy. Go fight them." And then there are also little character bios for every character, which aren't too bad.
And shoot ghost dragon balls.
Flaming skulls.
Yes.
Triple ghost fires.
Was it me, or did the move seem kind of unreliable for the quarter circle motions and stuff?
No,
I didn't notice that.
I never really had a problem.
Especially the quarter circle back motion moves, I had a real problem with. And since the main other thing I've been playing is Persona, I've been doing a lot of quarter circle backs, so I felt like it was the game and not me.
I did not notice anything like that. The only time I struggled with doing any kind of the moves was because I was hitting the wrong button at the end of it, which is a player input error, not a game error.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fact that they have not just like punch or kick, which is honestly something I'm just accustomed to from Street Fighter, throws me off sometimes because it's like specifically you need to press light punch at the end of this and not heavy punch. But no, I didn't really have any problems with the inputs.
All right, that was just me then. But I think we can all agree that the AI in this game is toned way too high. And they've said a number of times that was intentional. Because Mortal Kombat was so popular, they wanted to get people off it as quickly as possible. And
wait, what?
Yeah, they wanted people so that new blood could come in. But I think with the way the game is designed, that's a real bad way to look at the game. Because the here comes a new challenger mechanic means at any time someone can come in, and if they're better than you, force you off. And you kind of almost want someone to stick around to be challenged.
All right, you mean on the arcade machine?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's even worse in a home console, I think, but I'm judging the design choice from how it was intended.
It's a little awkward to do something like that, because if it's too hard, then people aren't paying their coins into it, because they'll become fed up with the difficulty before too long and stop putting their coins into your machine.
And I would have said that this was probably going to be the death knell of the franchise, but would I have been wrong?
Because that's honestly how I felt. I loaded up the first game. Scorpion proceeded to hook me with his chain, then punch me in the head 37 times. Then I died. And I was like, so that was my first match. Well, I honestly don't feel like playing this anymore. Like,
I beat the first guy.
I got to guy three. But like I was just talking about how in this fighting game I'm playing, it's way too easy. And I could only get to guy three in this older one. And the AI is tuned to always dodge your projectiles if it is at all possible. The AI is just really cheesy and made to beat you. That's okay for like the final boss type guys, because then you're more likely to put in more quarters at that point because of the sunk cost fallacy. But as just a way to rotate people out, I feel like fighting games already have a really good mechanic for that.
Yeah, where you can just say, I'm going to put my own quarters in and kick you off the machine by beating you. Now I am first player.
And to be honest, that made me feel this game was way worse than the original, where the AI was probably a little harder than I would like, but it was closer to Street Fighters, where the first guy is kind of a gimme, and the second guy can beat you up if you're really bad. And then the third guy, the AI starts to kick in seriously, and when you start getting to the boss type guys, they will just dodge everything and straight up murder you.
Well, and that's what I'm used to with fighting games, because, you know, usually you want the first guy to be kind of a gimme so I can, all right, I'm a new player, I can kind of learn the controls.
And to be fair, on the arcade, every button is going to be labeled with what it does, so that's less of a concern, but I still like the idea of warm-up. And if someone is waiting behind you and impatient, he can just put his quarters in the machine, and then they have twice as many quarters coming in from two people. I really think that a single player for a fighter in an arcade should, I mean, it definitely needs quarter turnover at some point, but I think it should try to keep a person for, you know, maybe 10 minutes before it starts seriously trying to throw opposition at them.
Yeah, and I'd be fine with that. The difficulty ramps up as you go along. Now, the first guy kicks my ass and I just leave because I'm done with this.
And unlike a game like Ghosts and Goblins, there's not the promise of new content if you put in more quarters, or something like Dragon's Lair, where, like, okay, I want to keep going to see what's after this. What's after this is more guys. In fact, you see the Tower of Guys. You see everyone you're going to fight at the beginning.
The only thing that this has really for it at that point is bragging rights. I beat Mortal Kombat.
That is true. That's true of a lot of old, ridiculously difficult games. I would also say that the characters are slightly more differentiated in the first one, which, like, there's more room for being good at it.
I don't think the characters are more differentiated in the first one. There's just more characters in the second one.
Yeah, but what I would say is I feel like the new characters don't really add much. Like, Jax is pretty interesting and different, but everyone else seems pretty derivative to me. And I think Tyler is kind of right by lack of volume. I think most of the new characters are pretty uninspired, so they all feel kind of the same. Whereas the original cast, even though I don't like him, Raiden is very different than Liu Kang, is very different from Scorpion, who is even different from Sub-Zero because they have very different special moves.
I would argue they actually all behave the same, and that the second one added slightly different moves, which made them slightly more diverse, but...
And none of the new characters really interest me, to be frank. I like both Scorpion and Sub-Zero and Liu Kang and Raiden. That's a fair portion of the original cast. Jax is the only character that makes sense to add to me, because there are probably black guys who like this game, and let's appeal to them.
I like
Kung Lao.
I've always liked Jax and Katana.
Yeah, Jax is a badass. Let's be fair.
Okay, so like Jax is cool, but that's one out of five.
So I also like Katana.
Yeah,
but
I like Katana.
I'm not like trying to sound incredulous, but why?
I think the reason I like Katana is backloading. Oops. No, because I've played later games in the series.
Oh, okay.
I like the character that they eventually really gave her. She doesn't have really in this game.
Yeah, I might actually be doing the same thing, honestly. I might be thinking of deception and importing a personality from that.
That's the big problem you have when playing these older games in a franchise. You backload character onto stuff that doesn't have it yet.
Normally, it's like the opposite problem.
I actually noticed when we were watching like the character things slip through that they changed to Melina's story pretty significantly from the original one they had.
Oh yeah, what was the original in this one?
Oh, like acting as an assassin with her twin sister Katana.
No, it turns out she's like a soul-eating demon now. So
no, she's half Tarkatan. She's half Baraka people.
Baraka. I forgot they added Baraka. He's at least a monster man. I just really don't like Baraka.
Oh, and he's
That's entirely a taste thing. I don't think Baraka is bad. I just don't like it. All right. So any other words on Mortal Kombat 2? Like I said, I was super disappointed in this game.
I just had a revelation.
Like huh.
So X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yeah. Got Deadpool's the idea. Baraka?
Yes.
Okay. I had that revelation a while ago. I'm sorry.
Wait,
no, that's fine. I know.
Baraka has arm swords. Yeah. Like Deadpool and X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Oh.
Although they have the reverse mouths. Baraka has a large mouth with lots of fangs. They sew Deadpool's mouth shut.
That's a terrible movie. Final thoughts on Mortal Kombat 2.
It's not nearly as bad as Jeremy's making it out to be.
It's not very good either, so.
I'm not trying to argue that point.
All right, so we have a list at our website, www.lasttimeongeogames.com, listing all the games we've played. At the top is Chrono Trigger. It doesn't have Baraka in it. I don't know. I'm not saying that makes it good. I'm just saying it doesn't have Baraka
in it. It does have Magus, though.
At the bottom is Golden Axe. It doesn't have Sub-Zero in it. And in the middle, we have Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. Man, if you told me that would be our middle, I would scratch my head.
I would be mildly perplexed. Great emotional response.
So, like I said, I think this is worse than the original Mortal Kombat. Not by a lot, but I don't think it's an improvement.
I disagree with you.
I think it is a slight improvement.
Okay.
But
you really think those new characters like make up for how unplayable the AI is against?
I think you can get good enough to actually take the AI on. You just have to have a lot of practice. It's a mastery.
So you have to have a lot of quarters.
Yeah, and I'm kind of a masochist and like to be good at stuff anyway.
I mean,
and
so do I. I was just defending, like, Gargoyle Quest, but that's not a game that makes you play to get better every time.
That is true. But
that's what most games do like this, though. They make you play it more to get better at it.
I think you meant pay. You just misspoke.
They also released it on home consoles.
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah, eventually. What's your point?
They should have put difficulty options on, I think, with home consoles, and maybe a training mode. That was pretty lavish at the time. I'm a little spoiled asking for a training mode from a 1993 game, but most of the ports of it are pretty minimal.
Isn't this contemporary with Sonic the Hedgehog?
Yeah.
Okay. Just curious.
The added characters and the added flair that they brought with them did enough to help the game.
And let's face it, it's mostly a game about style and not substance.
I mean, that's why I have so much problem with it. But, I mean, Mortal Kombat still does that. And I don't feel like they added much to the style. Like I said, the babalities and friendships just sort of, like, muddle things to me.
And a slightly wider special move pool, though, so that the characters are actually, like, kind of distinct. It kind of matters which one you choose.
So let's see. A few above that is, I don't know why I think these are comparable, but I do. Comic Zone. I guess because it's also very
style over substance.
And it also has mechanics that irritate me. But I like the style of Comic Zone a whole lot more than I like the style of Mortal Kombat.
I have to agree with that. I actually kind of like Comic Zone. Like, I don't think it's a great game, but it actually kind of holds a fond
place
in my heart.
Like, it stands out, right? It's not a game that, like, Zach's like, whoa, what game?
I owned Comic Zone as a kid.
Yeah, okay, fair.
It was just as bad then as it is now. I think Comic Zone has a little bit better on that because, like you said, the graphical flair that they had in Comic Zone was a bit more distinct.
It was styled like a comic book.
Okay.
It's hard to forget.
So midway between them are a game I briefly compared this to, another arcade hit, although one from almost 10 years earlier, Ghosts and Goblins. It's another really difficult game, but I feel like the difficulty in Ghosts and Goblins serves it a lot better. I can see why you would put in another quarter to see what's next in a way that I can't with Mortal Kombat.
But don't you want to see how Jax kicks your ass?
I mean, no, I could just play Jax if that was what I wanted.
I'm honestly somewhat conflicted on this one. I would probably play Ghosts and Goblins if locked in a room with both of them. Although, I guess it depends on whether or not I was locked in a room with another person. Because I could at least get a few chuckles out of Mortal Kombat.
That's true. Mortal Kombat's multiplayer is a big factor. The thing is, I played it with Kevin for like almost an hour before you guys got here. And it was way more fun at first, but it lost its novelty pretty quickly.
Yeah. I mean, it came down to the point where we were like, all right, let's see what, if we both pick the same character, what their costumes looked like.
Not very different.
Yeah, say what happens in that
case. Most of them get a blue stripe on their pants instead of a red stripe. Zach, it looks like you have some opinion on this. Do you want to try to sway us to say Mortal Kombat 2 goes above Ghosts and Goblins, or?
I'm trying to think. They both kind of suck.
Yep, that's true.
I don't like either genre, so I can't really use the what would I prefer to play in a locked room. I think I'd have to give it to Mortal Kombat, though, The expanded pool of moves, as well as the addition, or as well as multiplayer being a pretty significant option in the game, makes a lot more of a matter point for me. So it's a more important thing to be able to play it with friends and have that mastery element to be able to brag, I beat Mortal Kombat, rather than the Ghosts and Goblins side of things, which is usually just...
Brag that you can beat Ghosts and Goblins? The multiplayer.
The same thing, but you can't play multiplayer in Ghosts and Goblins.
Going back to the lack of innovation about Mortal Kombat, though, one thing that's easy to forget about Ghosts and Goblins is that it predates Super Mario Brothers. And as a side-scrolling platform that predates that game, it's innovating a lot, and it totally falls on its face in a lot of places. But I give it a lot of credit for that, and I think it's a better designed game, honestly. I think even though the hardness of Ghosts and Goblins isn't really fun, it's sort of intentionally not fun. With Ghosts and Goblins, I get that I want to beat this feeling a lot more than Mortal Kombat, even though that ultimately fades, because the hardness of Ghosts and Goblins isn't fair either, but it's fair longer.
Fair longer. So I suppose it comes down to me, doesn't
it? Yeah, it does. I mean, you said Ghosts and Goblins at first, but I wanted to give Zach the chance to make his argument.
I'm trying to decide whether or not Zach swayed me. It's honestly really close in multiplayer, man, although it's really easy to implement with that, so I'm not sure I should really laud them for...
Good with Blue Suede.
It was built for the multiplayer. So, I mean, it does make sense. But like I said, I don't think the multiplayer was fun for that long.
Yeah, that's fair.
It was definitely fun longer than playing the NCAA. But I think I had more fun with Ghosts and Goblins, personally. Not much more. Like you guys said, neither of them are great games, but...
Yeah, honestly, I keep thinking, like, when did Ghosts and Goblins come out?
85? It has to be before 85. Sometime, either late 84 or early 85.
And when did Doom come out?
90.
Oh, wait. 90s?
Yeah.
Really? Okay, well, never mind. I think I would probably have to give it to Ghosts and Goblins.
Okay.
Only barely, but...
Well, I feel vindicated by this choice, but there's an easy comparison of point above Ghosts and Goblins and not below. So now I must deal with this. How do we think it compares to Phantasy Star? Another game we mentioned.
Favorably, I think, but...
Yeah, I said I will always prefer a hard game to a boring one, and while...
And Phantasy Star is boring and obtuse.
I feel like Phantasy Star has more going on, and I want to give it to it, but it is the boring game. I feel like my own internal logic dictates, I have to say, Mortal Kombat 2 is the better of the two. Zach, thoughts?
I said it was better than Ghosts and Goblins, so Ghosts and Goblins is better than Phantasy Star, therefore...
I mean, that logic doesn't always work, but fair enough. Mortal Kombat 2 will go at number 143, below Ghosts and Goblins, and above Phantasy Star. Two whole slots above Mortal Kombat.
Get it? Mortal Kombat 2 whole slots above...
So next week, Mortal Kombat 3?
Oh my god.
Because I feel like torturing Jeremy?
It will go at number 140, just above Bomberman.
No, no. We've dragged Kevin through enough crappy video games and Wave Race.
To be fair, he started the trend. We were just getting back at him.
What? He made us play Thief?
Yes.
Thief was better than... Well, I don't think Thief was better than Wave Race. But I'm
not
sure...
Do
not
underestimate my desire when I decide to get back at somebody. I go all out.
I'm actually not sure I think Thief is better than Gargoyle Quest, but I'm not super upset that it's below it.
Give me a false poo on my driveway. I will give you a real poo on your driveway.
No, we're going to reward Kevin with something decent, and me, because I have regained direct control. So next week, you're not even allowed to ask me what we're playing. Next week, we're going to play a phenomenal classic, a top shooter for sure. I'm not sure it's going to crack top 10, although...
I think it might.
Not
it definitely could.
Given your guys' taste, I'm not too...
I like StarCraft, I'm just bad at it.
I like StarCraft a lot, but, I mean...
Next time on Last Time StarCraft. This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2016. All the video games and other media mentioned within are copyright their respective owners. Past episodes and other information can be found at www.lasttimeonvideogames.com. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us by email at ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. We're also on iTunes and would really appreciate it if you left us a 5-star review. Podcast over. You have to go to the start screen and load your last save again.